Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got two on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and, of course, David Deal is always on a Wednesday afternoon. How you doing, my friend?
On a Wednesday. I'm doing well. Doing well. Had a fantastic Christmas with my daughter.
Yeah, I love the gift you got.
Oh, yeah, the best dad cufflinks.
I know we can't zoom in.
Yep, so I got great cufflinks, best dad.
It says best dad. That's so cool.
I know, and then Addison, turned 9 on Sunday. Big girl, so she had the double whammy, birthday and Christmas, and believe me, I will never, ever be one of those people that combine them together. They have to be separate. So she got double the amount of gifts at Christmas time. So it was great to be able to spend that time with her. But unfortunately, I was not able to be with her on her birthday because I was calling the Colts-Dolphins game.
I heard you.
But I had an awesome little package made for my daughter. I had pictures and a little graphic for her, telling her happy birthday on my live broadcast.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was great.
That's awesome.
How about yourself?
I know I say this each and every time, but I adore you so much just because of how much you really enjoy being a father and how great you are to your daughter. So,
oh, thank you very much.
And happy new year to you and your family from all of us here at the Giants
happy
organization.
Happy new year, everyone. Thanks for listening as always, or watching, for everybody who's watching it.
Exactly.
Yep.
I had a great Christmas. I think we talked about it. My family's down in Florida, unfortunately, because I'm a workaholic. I couldn't get down there. It was too much of a turnaround time for me, so I spent it here in the city. But I love it. I mean, there's nothing like Christmas in New York City. Went to a great dinner at the Waverly Inn, which is a great spot to have a Christmas dinner. It's dark, it's quaint, it's got fireplaces everywhere. Spent with some really great friends who are kind of in the same predicament I am in regard to here and not having a lot of family, but great friends that I've made in the 6 years that I've been here.
Awesome.
And enjoyed myself. The following day, Christmas Day, went to Budokan.
Okay.
I'm half Jewish.
Okay.
And part of the Jewish
part of the Jewish
religion is that on Christmas you have Chinese food, and you go see a movie. That's part of that's Jewish tradition.
That's the tradition
so,
for you.
So I went a little beyond. I went to Budokan.
Okay.
And I had a little Asian fusion.
Nice.
And then I went to go see the movie Joy.
Oh, okay.
Which was fantastic. I mean, just Jennifer Lawrence is amazing.
Really?
So anyway,
that was my first review I've heard of it. I don't think I'll be going to watch it on my own, nor will I see probably the movie.
It's a chick flick. It's a chick flick. There's no denying that. But anyway, hoping everybody out there had a great Christmas as well. You know, obviously, the loss to the Minnesota Vikings, not a positive one for the Giants. But really, looking ahead, as we know, playoff aspirations no longer exist. But this last game, David, take us in that locker room. What's the mentality right now? Week 17, last game, division rival, the Philadelphia Eagles. What are the guys thinking about right now? How do they get motivated for this last game?
Well, you get motivated because what are you fighting for? I know you want to say the cliche pride, which is definitely on the line when you're a New York Giant playing up against the Philadelphia Eagles, regardless of whether or not either team is going to be making the playoffs. But more importantly, you're fighting for your job. When you don't make the playoffs, when the season doesn't go the way that you want it to, and you're scratching, fighting, and clawing, this is a time where you are fighting for your job. And that name on the back of your jersey definitely means more right now than the one that's on the helmet, because you are going to be either a part of the solution next year or you are the problem. And that's definitely going to be the case regardless of what happens with the head coach, regardless of what anything happens. When adversity hits, the true character of a man is shown. And not only are you interviewing for the New York Giants, you're going to be interviewing for the 31 other teams in the NFL because they are all watching to see how you play, how you respond, and if you completely shut it down.
So, I do find it interesting because, you mentioned the head coach, and we know the talk out there. We don't know what's going to happen with Tom Coughlin. We don't know what's going to happen with this organization. But one thing that I do know, David, and you know this as well because you've been in that locker room, is how much these men love Tom Coughlin. And you know, if you did hear him in regard to his press conference this morning, a little bit earlier, 11 a.m. On Madison, on MSG, you know, he talked about trying to get these guys focused and focused on the matter at hand, and that is beating the Philadelphia Eagles and not listening to the outside noise. The outside noise coming from the New York media, and also, don't forget, the outside noise coming from Philadelphia. Chip Kelly was released yesterday for the Philadelphia Eagles. So there is a lot of outside noise pertaining to what's going on in this game, but at the same time, knowing how much these guys really, really respect and admire Tom Coughlin, I would imagine that they're going to come out and they're going to play their best game for him, David. I really feel that.
And they should, because throughout this entire time, throughout the entire 13 years that I've known Coach Coughlin, he's never made it about him. It's about the team, and it's about the players coming together as a team and fighting together through thick and thin. So all the outside talk, everything that goes along with it, you heard him during the press conference say, I'm sorry that the players have to speak on my behalf and my job security. They should never have to do that. And that's how he thinks, because it is always about the group. It's never about Coach Coughlin. And from day one, when adversity hit and when everybody was saying, oh, this is crazy, all the rules, everything that he has changed around here, you know, everybody at first stepping back and saying that this isn't going to work. His overall goal, no matter what the circumstances, is winning football games and winning championships. And the thing, like I said, always you love about him, good, bad, and different, you know where exactly you stand with Coach Coughlin, whether you're doing something positive, when you're doing something negative. You could be a rookie, you can be an all-pro, you can be a free agent. He is going to treat everybody the exact same.
201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter, and that is hashtag Giants Chat. Anita Marks, David Deal, and of course you for the next hour. On Twitter, Mike tweeted us and said, do the Giants want the game in London next year? ? As a fan, I don't. Hashtag Giants Chat. Now, it's really important to let you know, this Giants-Philadelphia game does matter in this respect.
Yes, it does.
If the Giants lose, they will finish third in the NFC East, and the St. Louis Rams finish third in the NFC West. Therefore, the Rams
Those
are playing
two.
Week 7 in London, and the Giants then would travel to London to take on the Rams. Now, if the Giants win, they stay here, and they travel to Philadelphia to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Pick your poison. What would you rather have?
I personally would much rather have a game where you are playing in familiar territory. I would much rather.
Have you been to London?
Yes, we played in 07. We were the first team to play in the international series in London against the Miami Dolphins. And granted, yes, you have the next week bye. Yes, they set up everything in that way. But it completely changes your week of preparation. It completely changes your travel schedule. But more importantly, what does it change? It changes your routine as a football team. So I would, number one, much rather play in Philadelphia. And number two, I would much rather win this football game.
In Seattle.
Well, I'm sorry, in Seattle. I either way, it's going to be a six-hour trip. Yes, you look at it, you want Seattle or you want – Or do you want St. Louis?
I understand
this is the way that I look at it.
You either stay in the States and you play the better team in Seattle, where they have the 12th man, one of the most difficult venues to play in, or you go to London and you play not the better team, but you're having to travel across the pond and you're playing, of course, on foreign territory. So,
The competition. I understand that stuff. But number one, as a winner, you play every game to win. You want to finish the season on a high note. And I understand the competition. Yeah, you would much rather play the Rams than in Seattle. But if you want to be a competitive football team, if you want this organization to get back to winning ways and change the culture again to a championship culture, you want to play up against the best, because those games, whether they affect you positively or they affect you adversely, those games help dictate the confidence, and it molds teams to either grow together or they will fall apart together.
Interesting stuff. 201-939-4513. Let's head out to our calls. We kick it off with Chris calling in from Syracuse. He actually wants to talk about the offensive line, something you're very
who,
well,
me? No, I don't know anything
about that. I do. How you guys doing?
Hey, Chris. How are you? Happy New Year, buddy.
Yeah, same to you. First time getting through on Wednesdays. It's usually tough, Mr. Deal. I figure why. A lot of people want to talk to you. I was just going to say one of the positive things I think we could take on this season. You hear that in the background. I'm out here shoveling. I got an Eagles fan neighbor that's shoveling my driveway while I talk to you. That's pretty cool, right? But I think the offensive line performed better than expected. And with all the trouble that we have going forward on the roster, I feel like the last couple of years of attention that we've given to that, it's not going to be as much of a focal point moving forward. I think we have a good core in place after, you know, you and Snee and all those guys left. It's taken a little while to get some guys in there, but Flowers, Pugh, Richburg, you know, so a little bit on the right side, but not as big of a focus. And I just thought that that was a good thing considering. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and I'll take your comments off the air. Thanks for taking my call.
Chris, thank you very much, and great call, great questions. And in that regards, yes. You know, you think about when we started as a group, myself, Rich Soibert, Sean O'Hara, Chris Snee, and Kareem McKenzie, they said that we were the worst offensive line in the NFL. So that's the way that we started. But through work ethic, through working through things as a unit and getting games together, that's how we were able to turn things around. Problem is we all got old at the same time together. That was the issue. I mean, let's be honest with you. That's the issue, that we all got old. We were the same age, and we all got old at the same time together. So that's why you knew it was going to take a little time to rebuild. I have the utmost confidence in Weston Richburg. Same thing with Justin Pugh. Eric Flowers, his best football is still ahead of him as a young player growing. I think Bobby Hart has shown flashes of who he can be as a football player. I think that next year he will be a starting guard, a right guard for this football team. But the big question is how are they going to handle the way that William Beatty hurt this offensive line and how he needs to bounce back and prove who he is again as a football player at one of the tackle positions, depending on how they do it, whether they move him back to left tackle and move Flowers to right, however they manage to balance that out. But the other thing that they need to do is they need to find more depth at that position to help out if there are injuries like there were this season. But more than anything, they have got to find a blocking tight end to get here to the New York Giants, because that has plagued this football team the entire season.
201-939-4513. Question for you.
Yes.
Do you feel, and this is pretty interesting, I host a NFL wrap-up show on Sunday nights with Vinny Serrato, former general manager of the Washington Redskins.
Hey, yo, Vinny.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like that. I know a guy. And he questions whether or not left tackle is the best position for Eric Flowers. Your thoughts on what you've seen this season. Where do you think he best fits this offensive line? Is it left tackle? Is it right tackle? Where do you, what side do you think he would do best on?
I've seen him make improvements up until he really had that ankle injury that really plagued his development as a football player. But I see him as a more athletic Kareem McKenzie. He is big. He is strong. He has the size. He can move people at the point of attack. And, yes, do I think that he is a more natural fit at right tackle? No question. But he was put into the position where he had to play left tackle this season when William Beatty got hurt. So I do. I see him more as a right tackle for this offensive line. But having said that, I also was told my entire career, you're more than a guard, you're more of a right tackle, and I ended up winning two Super Bowls as a left tackle. So, you know, even though people may say that, you can still mold yourself into it. But like I said, I do see him as a strong point right tackle on that right side of the offensive line.
All right, let's continue with our calls. We go to Fred calling in from New Jersey. Fred, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
My thing is about this whole Coughlin thing. I don't think we should let him go, because my biggest thing is who is better? Who are we going to get? Who's better out there, you know? Then say if they do wind up letting him go, then we have to start all over with a new offense, probably a new defensive coordinator too, because the new head coach, you don't want his personnel in there. So my biggest thing is also, too, with Jerry Reese, over the personnel-wise more than Coughlin. So, you guys, thoughts on that?
Great question, and that's what we're going to see is going to be determined. Obviously, nothing's been said. Nothing has been announced or anything, but obviously, we all hear the speculation and everything just like you. And this is what happens when you don't win football games, when you're in the brink and you can't put your foot on the pedal in fourth quarters and close out football games. So it is a big question. It is going to be to see what happened. But, yes, when you lose games like this, it is not all on the head coach. It is on the players. It is on the head coach. But it is on the general manager because the players that are out there on the football field, whether they are competing or they are not playing well, that's the ones who that organization and that part of the department, as in the GM and everybody, they're the ones who pick who comes here. So it is everybody combined when things go bad and go south like this. And I think you're like all of us. We're waiting to see after this week and moving forward here what exactly is going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. One more quick statement real fast. You know, like everybody wanted Andy Reid out of Philadelphia, you know, and look what happened with Chip and look what Chip did. So be careful what you wish for, Giant fans. So.
Point taken.
All right, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
No problem. Let's continue. We have Rob in Rochester. Rob, welcome in.
Hey, thanks, guys. Great show. First-time caller. Lifelong fan.
Thanks, Rob. Happy New Year, buddy.
Yeah. Just wanted to piggyback on the last caller. He's right, and I was calling exactly about that. Wanted to kind of silence the other fan and kind of say that just disappointed to see all the media coverage and fan base kind of focused on the firing of Coughlin. You know, if you look at this season as an isolated season and not factor in that we haven't been to the playoffs since 2011, you'd see clearly that, you know, we aren't in the position we're in because of coaching. You know, it makes me wonder if any or a fan has been watching these games closely, and especially in the close games. So all the allegations of, you know, Coughlin losing the locker room and stuff like that just blows my mind. So, and exactly what the last caller said, you know, if Tom Coughlin is our coach, then who are you expecting to bring us to the playoffs next season? So if you guys just, you know, talk a little bit about that. So, and that's it.
Well, I mean, like I said, this is, you know, you hate when this happens and it's this part of the season when there's all this speculation about people's jobs because why is it happening? Because the product on the football field is not winning football games, and here the New York Giants are in a position again where they aren't in the playoffs and don't have an opportunity to win another Super Bowl. So, you know, this is something that as a player for the 11 seasons I played here, we faced. This isn't the first time that Coach Coughlin has faced it. But I think if you go back and you look at the way that the season played out, the way that the Giants were able to get production out of players like Will Ty, who came off of the street and was able to perform from other players. I mean, you can keep going on and on. And at the same time, you talk about injuries. They happen to every football team. But how it happened to Jason Pierre-Paul, all the distractions to start the season, Victor Cruz not playing this year. I mean, you can just add the list on, and for them to still compete and play at a high level but unable to come up with those games but be in football games, yes, coaches deserve a lot of credit for that.
You know, it's interesting. You know, when something doesn't go according to plan, and we know the season started, there was a lot of optimism, there was a lot of hope that this team would compete in this division and possibly make it to the playoffs. You know, you immediately want to place this is why it didn't happen. And I don't think it's fair to just put it on one situation,
no.
Whether it's general manager, head coach, you know.
Everybody's got their fingerprint on it.
In injuries that took place to key players. I think it's a magnitude of things that took place that got the Giants organization to where it is right now. And I agree with the caller. I don't think it's fair that you just pinpoint one area as to why this organization did not achieve all that it set out to do this season.
No, and like I said, I'm nowhere in no way, shape, or form being a hypocrite because I've lived this. I've been on this side of the ball where we didn't make the playoffs. We were in close games, and we came up short. We lost games in the fourth quarter, and then I've been on the other side where we've learned from those experiences and closed out games in the fourth quarter, had game-winning two-minute drives, and were able to win championships. So everybody, when there is a failure in the season at the end of the year, whether there's wins and losses, whatever the column is, and especially when you do not make the playoffs, everybody has a fingerprint and everybody is involved on it. Because, yes, the GM gets the players here. Yes, the coach is the one who directs everything. But as a player, you've got to make the plays on the football field too.
Again, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat. Here's some tweets for us on Twitter. David Deal, please share your favorite Giants-Eagles memory. Happy New Year.
Favorite Giants-Eagles memory. We had, let's see, I would say the comeback win that we had in Philadelphia where Plaxico Burress scored the game-winning touchdown. We were down 21 going into the fourth quarter. I want to say it was either in 05 or 06, and it was in Philadelphia. I mean, to see that fan base go from as rowdy as they are and as hostile as they are to that overtime game walking off the field where you can only hear the Giants team and fans celebrating and you could hear a pin drop from the Eagles fans, I think that was probably one of my favorite memories from playing the Philadelphia Eagles.
Also, this is a tweet from Dre Day. He says, we don't need a blocking tight end. We need a fast, sure-handed tight end like Jordan Reed.
Well, obviously, you don't know anything about run game production, Dre Day, because if you want to block and if you want to get outside and edges and not be one-dimensional running zone schemes inside, you need a blocking tight end. So I understand, yes, you want one who can catch passes. Yes, you want to have one who can work down the seams and crossing routes. But that's why you carry two tight ends, and we do need a run-blocking tight end here.
AJ wants to know, what's your New Year's resolution for the New York Football Giants?
I thought he was asking my New Year's resolution.
He's like, what would be your New Year's resolution for the Giants?
Getting back to a championship culture, where those games that are won or lost at the end by those last play, that this team next year has that killer instinct that they will not be denied.
All right, let's continue with the calls and keep the tweets coming by all means. Hashtag Giants chat. 201-939-4513. We go to Connor calling in from Manhattan. Connor, welcome in.
Hi, this is Conrad from Manhattan. David, you're the man. Anita, I love you. You guys are awesome. Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to make this comment on Coughlin. I don't agree that he should lose his job. And the reason why I don't think he should is because I don't think talent-wise, the Giants had a talented bunch of players where coaching was causing us to lose the games. I think three games off the top of my head, and there's more I probably could go into that I think players lost the game versus coaches. I think the Panthers game, the DRC make that pick six, totally different game. I think we win that game. I put that on the players.
Odell Beckham Jr. catches that opening pass for a touchdown.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And if Beckham make that catch in the Pats game, if he holds on to the ball and secure it and doesn't get it knocked down out of the end zone, we win that game.
The game's over.
Collins could come down with an interception. We win that game. You know, I go back to the another game DRC had a pick six that he dropped versus the Redskins. If we win that game, if he make that play, if Ruben Randall run a route, half a decent route in that game, Eli doesn't throw that interception in the end zone, we win that game. I don't think that's coaching. Now, do I blame the coaches as far as the Jets game? Absolutely. I think the coaching could have done a better job. But I think more games were lost with players not making plays and giving extra effort versus Tom, you know, blowing the game and not being a good coach. That's my opinion on that. I think Coughlin has been a great Giant. I don't think he merits to lose his job or even have to answer those questions. When you look at the talent, if you just look at the talent itself, it's not there. The general manager, for crying out loud, we have a habit, and I'm sorry to be venting about this right now.
Don't worry. You're a passionate Giants fan. We all feel and understand exactly what you're feeling.
Thank you. I have a problem. For the past, the Giants have let players go into free agency. We did that with Steve Smith. We looked at him, and he was like, well, you know what? He ended up going to Philly. A lot of times, those players that leave the Giants don't really go and do anything valuable or do anything in other teams where they become these dominant players, and we could look at it and be like, man, that was a loss. Lindell Joseph, I didn't like the fact that we let him go. I understand that he got money from Minnesota, and we probably couldn't match up the money, and it was cap issues, but
he got paid a ton of money to go to Minnesota.
Absolutely. Yep. I didn't like the loss of losing Antrell Roe. I think the money he ended up getting in Chicago, we probably could have given it to him here in the Giants, and we could have had Roe as a leader and somebody to coach Collins as far as what he needed and the tools that he needed to become a dominant, you know, free safety. So those things goes back to the general manager. I can't blame him for putting hopes on Beeson, but I could blame him for not bringing in a backup, knowing Beeson's history as far as injury goes. Kennard, this kid is a stud. Nobody could have predicted that he was going to get injured and not be around. So I think when fans call and talk about the general manager and coaching, and I know ownership, that's why me as a Giant fan, I love the owners that we have because they are football guys. They don't really tap in into the PR stunts and listen to the fans and go, hey, we need a change because of those things. But the whole team, the whole coaching staff, I would give another shot and, you know, give them another chance to do this thing right. Because with what they had this year, with the level of talent, I went to all the games, and I'm a season ticket holder, and I sat there, and every single game, I was disappointed at the outcome at some of those games, but I was sitting there in the seat and loved the fact that my team was competing, even though I didn't have a stud linebacker on defense. So that's my opinion. Happy New Year's. I love you guys, and I'll continue to listen to the show. Thank you, Conrad.
Thank you very much. Also, I want to remind.
I hope Conrad feels better.
Yeah, I mean,
he had a lot to say, and
we're here for you.
Yeah,
but we completely understand.
It's frustrating. When you have passion and love for your football team, and you see, you know, the opportunities that were missed this season with a wide open NFC East, yeah, it hurts. It hurts to see these things happen. But to go along with everything Conrad was saying, yeah, you make a lot of great points, but when you get to this point, when you lose close games, when you can't finish and have that killer instinct, when you don't make the playoffs, when you had so many opportunities to win the NFC East, change is going to happen one way or another. Whether we like it or not, change is going to happen at some point here moving forward. What is going to happen? Yes, there's all speculation. We don't know. Nothing's been said. Obviously, this is a tough situation for everyone to be in, the GM, the head coach, and every single player. But this is where we are in the season, and it is reality.
I want to remind folks, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. And I know you don't play fantasy, but typically weekly fantasy ended last week. The majority of people had their championships.
Yeah, and they're playing, you said, the one days.
So now it turns to daily. Yep. And so now I would imagine that DraftKings is really going to get a ton of people playing because, you know, they're probably jonesing for some more fantasy football. And since their weekly leagues are over, now's the time. And I'll tell you what, I really like Eli Manning this week playing daily fantasy. I like. It's called a stack. It's a term that's used. Like it's a strategy.
Two wide receivers, you stack them.
No, you, so for, yeah, that's cute.
Go ahead.
But you know, playing a quarterback with his number one wide receiver. So for example, I really like Ben Roethlisberger this week going up against Cleveland. So you would stack Ben Roethlisberger with Antonio Brown, or you'd stack Ben Roethlisberger with Martavis Bryant.
Gotcha.
I really like Eli Manning and Odell Beckham Jr. this week.
I think that he's going to erupt in a big game and in a big fashion.
Yeah, so do I. I wouldn't be surprised if Eli has four touchdown passes and Odell Beckham Jr. has at least two of them.
And Odell Beckham Jr. is 140 yards away from the single season receiving record.
How about that?
Second year in the NFL, and he's already breaking records nonstop. So,
unbelievable.
Yeah, I see him coming out and wanting to prove people wrong.
So I'm excited for that. So I really like the Eli Manning, Odell Beckham Jr. stack this week on Daily Fantasy. Let's go to line two. John's calling in from Connecticut. John, welcome.
Hey, guys. First-time caller here. Love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Thanks for calling, buddy. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Same to you, guys. A long, long-time Giants fan here. Just a quick bit about Coughlin. I 100% support Coach Coughlin, and I think I'm in the minority, but I think he will be back. But what I really wanted to talk about is the offense, in particular, the wide receiving core of this team. We have Eli Manning pretty much in the prime of his career now. And
yep.
I'm really, really concerned about the receiving core on this team, obviously aside from Odell Beckham, as long as he can stay healthy. And, David, I'm interested to hear what your thoughts are on this current situation with Victor Cruz, you know, his injury that he had 2 years ago, his ability to come back and really be an effective player, wide receiver, whether it's in the slot or anywhere else on the field. Also interested to hear your take on Reuben Randall and maybe where he ends up or, you know, what his role is going to be going forward on this football team. And, you know, Dwayne Harris did a really good job, I think, for us this year, but really concerned maybe how effective he can be going forward. So did a lot of good things. I'm just curious to hear about, you know, what your opinion is on this wide receiving core and if you think anything needs to be done going forward in the next year, you know, offensively.
Well, you know, if you think about it, and to start off, you know, mini camps and training camp, we thought that the wide receiving core was going to be the group
one
of the best in the NFL that was going to completely start putting up numbers in this offense and in the New York Giants offensive history that would have been unstoppable. Because if you think about it, we're thinking Odell Beckham Jr., Victor Cruz, Reuben Randall. We could have Dwayne Harris. We should sign Shane Vereen to alleviate some of the pressure so he can catch out of the backfield. You know, we have Larry Donnell as the tight end. We would have all these different positions in this second year in this offense. We were going to explode as an offense. That did not work out the way, due to injuries and due to the way that the season played out. And it, number one, starting with Victor Cruz, unable to come back and play the way that he's capable of. And that's a big question mark heading into next season moving forward, because if he wasn't able to bounce back this year off of it from the knee, and then he had the calf and then calf surgery, you cannot be 100% confident and sold that next year is going to be the year for him to bounce back, if ever. So you better figure out a way this offseason to figure out who is going to be opposite Odell Beckham Jr. As I said, a blocking tight end, but the New York Giants also need a dynamic playmaking tight end who can catch out of the backfield and separate and cause one-on-one matchups against linebackers. I think Reuben Randall this entire season has continued to disappoint myself and the rest of the fan base, because when his opportunities came to step up and to show that he was a receiver that's going to be a free agent next year, when you should be fighting and scratching and clawing for your job on this team or another team next year, he has not shown up whatsoever. And I don't care if it's one game, oh, well, he had a big game. He should be doing it consistently. If you want to prove that you are a starting wide receiver, if a ball is unable to catch for you and it has the option of getting intercepted, you better fight and scratch and claw to knock that ball out and make sure that it doesn't. So you bring up great points, but yes, moving forward, this is an area that definitely needs to be addressed, because we know Odell Beckham Jr. will be here, but who will be here to supplement his production and to step up when he's getting bracket coverage, when he's getting that double team, that will be able to extend drives and make those big dynamic plays for this offense?
You know, one thing that we talked about before the season started, and that was, I said, have realistic expectations. You know, David, there's not a large sample size of wide receivers in the NFL that come back from a patella tear. Yes, we have a large sample size of guys
yep.
who come back from ACL, MCL, you know, meniscus tears. That we do know. We don't really know in regard to a patella tear, and that frightens me, because
especially what you have to do as a slot receiver.
Yes. You're right. You know, there is no guarantee, unfortunately, that Victor Cruz will really be the Victor Cruz that we knew before the injury. We hope that he will be, but there's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee.
So obviously that's a position that must be addressed, whether in the draft or free agency. And keep in mind, listen, this is a Giants team that's going to be, they're going to be big players this year in free agency.
Yes.
In regard to cap space and whatnot, they're going to have a lot of room to wiggle around and have some fun. So
I think of this roster, I want to say that after this season, out of the 53-man roster, I want to say out of the New York Giants roster, I want to say 29 are free agents after this season. So there's going to be a lot of turnover, to say the least.
201-939-4513. On Twitter, here you go. This is from Carlos. He wants to know, I think the offense made better progress than last year. Do you think the defense will be better next year? And I guess I'm going to one-up that question and ask you, what do you feel the Giants need to do for the defense to be better next year? What areas, what are your concerns in regard that you feel need improvement?
Well, obviously, we do not know what's going to happen with Jason Pierre-Paul, and somebody else needs to figure out what's going to happen and step up for a dynamic pass rusher. John Beeson's health and his future, a middle linebacker that scares people, that people are scared of, that has that fight, has that confidence, like an Antonio Pierce, like the linebackers of the past of the New York Giants. Another safety to go opposite of Landon Collins. And then you got to think about that corner position, because after the season, Prince is one of the free agents to go opposite of Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie.
Yeah, and you've got to wonder in regard to, he's a free agent, if he tests the waters, you know, kind of like we had a caller just a few minutes ago talking about the money that they gave Kevin Boss to go to Oakland. I want to say $7 million a year.
But he had all the concussions and everything, and it didn't work out for him.
But in regard to, you know, maybe a player hits the free agent market, maybe a team might be in more desperate need of a corner.
Yes.
They might offer more money to Prince than maybe what the Giants have already allotted.
But what is the negative when it comes to Prince? Has he ever finished a season playing all 16 games?
No. So obviously you've got to put a price tag on that, assuming that you're not going to have a player all 16 games. So, I mean, there are a lot of question marks. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Vin. He's calling in from New York.
Vin!
Yes.
Hi, Vin. You're
hey,
up.
Vin. How
you're
are
up?
You?
Hi. Happy New Year, guys.
Same
Happy
to
New
you.
Year.
Listen, I only got a few things. Number one, Jerry Reese should be fired. He is not a good general manager and has not been for the past 8 years. Now, as far as Tom Coughlin, thank you, Tom, for what you've done for us. But it's time, Tom, to retire. Bring in some new blood. That's what we need, a complete change over. I've been a Giant fan since 1948, and this is terrible what happened this year. Are you there?
Yeah, we're listening. I wasn't sure where
wasn't
you wanted us
I wasn't
to go,
sure.
Vin. If we were getting some, those few things are not few things. They're quite big things for few things.
Well, I'm Vinning.
Oh yeah.
Very frustrating year for me this year.
It has, and that's and
Vin. Thanks for the phone call.
Vin, thank you. And like I said earlier, I believe it was Conrad who called and was talking, and it's completely understandable. As a Giants fan, you have so much passion and pride in your football team. And when adversity hits like this, especially after watching the way that the Vikings game played out, it's disappointing and it's tough. It's tough for everybody in this building. I mean, for us walking into here, Anita, you and I weren't on the football field. We didn't have any dictation on the outcome of that game on Sunday night. But you feel it. You feel
the,
it
the
in
atmosphere,
here.
The atmosphere.
You feel the atmosphere because people invest so much time and effort into going into football games, and when you don't get the return on investment, it hurts. It hurts everybody. It hurts the fans. It hurts the players. It hurts people involved in the organization. It hurts everyone because you understand, number one, what it feels like and to have the taste of victory and to hold a Lombardi trophy and to have those celebrations here. Number two, you realize the missed opportunities that were that took place this season. Everybody saw them. They were clear and they were evident. But now moving forward, everybody, it's tough. We've got one more football game left. And this game, regardless of what happens, is going to move forward this team to the 2016 team, because regardless of whether there's a new coach, Coach Coughlin comes back, whether Jerry Reese is here as a general manager or he's not, there is going to be turnover. And there is going to be a change when it comes to this roster, when it comes to this football team, to ensure that next year things do not happen like they did this year. Plain and simple.
You know, it was interesting. I was hosting early this morning. I hosted on ESPN from 4 to 6 a.m. So and
4 to 6 a.m.
Yes,
Oof.
I know. Thank God I've had a few cups of coffee. But but so obviously the big talk this morning was Chip Kelly getting released. And one point that I made is, you know, being a head coach in the NFL, it's unlike any profession.
And that's tough enough.
It's tough enough, A, to be a head coach in the NFL.
Yes.
Because you're right. Like, we walked in the doors this morning to the facility, and there's a different feel. There's a different vibe. Imagine walking into your workplace on any given Monday after a game on Sunday or a game on Monday night or Sunday night, whatever the case may be.
You feel the highs and the lows.
And it's immediate. It's an atmosphere. And that resonates from the Maras to, of course, Tom Coughlin. And they really create the atmosphere here, and you can sense it. It's a big responsibility, not just from the general manager to the head coach, and delegating responsibility to everybody. There's a lot of responsibility, but also one of the responsibilities of being a head coach is you create a culture.
Yes.
You create a culture and an environment at the facility. It's not just in the locker room with the players. It's everywhere. It's in the lunchroom where we sit and we prepare for the show. You can feel it. It's a vibe everywhere. And it begins and ends with the ownership, the general manager, and, of course, the head coach. And it is. For me,
like I said, I felt it as a player, and I feel it now as part of the broadcast team coming in here. Because
for me to be honest with you, I'm sad. I'm really sad today. I'm sad and I'm scared because I've I'm gonna get emotional here in a minute.
Yeah.
But like this is what I've known from this organization for a while, and I'm some people. Yeah, sometimes change is good, and I get that. But at the same time, sometimes change is good, but it's sad at the same time.
We don't
know what's going to happen. But I'll be honest with you, David, I'm sad.
Yeah.
And I was watching the Tom Coughlin press conference today at 11 a.m., and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to him, and then the questions came from all the media guys about his future and how's he dealing, how's he talking to the players in regard to them focusing on this Eagles game as opposed to his future and what's going to happen with him. And I got sad. I just think
it's not about the game against Philadelphia. It was about Coach Coughlin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a sad time. And I wish people who are calling in and talking about Tom and talking about Jerry, we're talking about human beings here. That's another thing. I know I'm on a soapbox right now, but another thing that I don't think fans realize is you're not just Tom Coughlin goes. It's not just Tom Coughlin. It's a staff.
Yeah.
It's people with families.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I just, you know, fans have to keep that in mind.
Especially when you're talking about a coach who has accomplished as much as he's accomplished for this organization. You know, I don't mean to throw him under the bus, and I'm not trying to in any way, but Vin just called. He needs to go. Do you realize how much Tom Coughlin has not only done for this organization, but for the charity foundations, for everybody involved in this? You know, my daughter, from day one, was in this facility. My daughter is 9 years old, and if I brought her in here and I had a guest with me, my daughter could give somebody a full tour of this facility.
That's awesome.
Why? Because Coach Coughlin not only made this about the players, but he made this about a family. And he made this about bringing your kids on certain days, on Saturdays, to practice if we just have a walkthrough. Because when you invest so much time, when you do so many things for this game, it almost dehumanizes you to a sense because you're so focused on things. But he allowed you to be a father. He allowed you to spend time with your others in this environment where your kids are running around on the football field, and those are things that they'll remember for the rest of their lives. So, yes, it is tough. Yes, this is a business when it comes down to everything. But at the same time, you're right. We're talking about somebody who has done phenomenal things for the great state of New Jersey, for the state of New York, and for this organization.
Let's continue with your calls, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jeff calling in from Rhode Island. Jeff, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Well, hi, guys, and Happy New Year to you both. I hope it's a good one for all of us. I know there's going to be plenty of changes with the Giants coming up, and as well there should be. I don't have any monetary investment in the Giants, but I've had a an investment emotionally for about 50 years with the team. I consider myself to be a really ardent fan of the football Giants. And one of the things that kills me is that, you know, I've got to wait about 8 more months for another season to come up so we get a brand new start. That's the killer for me, number one. But I don't want to talk about the managerial changes that may happen. But in regards to the team, and you guys can give me your input on this. I look at the roster. I've looked at the roster quite a few times over the past few weeks. And some days I'm really of the opinion that if we have another really good draft, and I think possibly with the addition of maybe seven really good quality free agents at key positions, that it wouldn't take a whole lot to turn this team around in a hurry. I mean, we've seen that happen a number of times with other teams over the years where they go from worst to first.
Yep.
And, I mean, you guys see the team and the players all the time. I mean, what do you think about my my supposition there?
I mean, I agree with you. We've seen it done. We've seen where teams have gone from worst to first, where they've turned things around. Where they've bounced back. I mean, look at the Carolina Panthers. The way that the NFC South was played last year, everybody counted them out. They were able to fight their way in with that tough record that they had because, you know, you looked at it through week 13, 14, 15, 16. Nobody was stepping up and taking over in that division. They were able to get into the playoffs, won one game, lost the next one, and look at how that confidence propelled them into this season. So, I mean, it is possible and it can be done, but I think you hit the nail on the head. At the same time, there has to be players that need to be brought in to help this football team, to help Eli Manning, to help other players like Odell Beckham Jr. who are in the prime of their career and to turn around the culture of this football team. So when it's in the fourth quarter and there's that lingering doubt of whether you guys can do it or not, that there is somebody who steps up and makes a play or somebody who steps up vocally and says, we are not letting this crap happen to us again, and then they have that killer instinct moving forward.
Again, want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, well, you get your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Let's go to Charlie. He's joining us from Connecticut. Charlie, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Charlie. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys. Great show. First-time caller, first-season listener. And I'd like to give a shout-out to Tom Coughlin. He's been immensely monumental to this team. It was a great story you just shared about him with the families. And hopefully that doesn't change if he's let go. I had so much to say, but now I'm at a loss. I'd like to talk about the offense.
Okay.
This offense has seen huge changes, and for the better. Eli's had one of his greatest seasons. He's over 4,000 yards with the wide receivers he has. Without Cruz, I think is monumental. I think this team is heading in the right direction, and it needs to rebuild its defense. What do you think about their draft this season, and where do you think they go?
Obviously, number one, we're going to have to wait and see how free agency plays out. But, you know, like I said, there are positions. Offensive tackle position, based on what happens with William Beattie moving forward here. A blocking tight end as well as a receiving tight end. Somebody to go opposite of Odell Beckham Jr. defensively. Another rush end that makes you slide protections his way to open up one-on-one matchups for other defensive linemen. A middle linebacker. We're going to talk outside of whether Prince gets signed back or not, but a corner position. Another safety that is a cover safety so that you can use Landon Collins at his best
safety.
And has a box safety and add him on as an eighth player where he can blitz, where he can attack and do those types of things. I mean, those are the the main positions that you think about, but those are very important positions as well.
Have you taken – and I don't mean to put you on –
Have I taken a look at free agency?
Yeah,
no, I haven't even gotten into that
either.
Stuff.
I haven't either.
No, I'm so wrapped up with, you know, the season and calling games and rosters.
What game do you have this week?
I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Carolina Panthers.
Ooh.
Yeah, big game.
Yeah, that is a big game.
Big
they
game.
Need to win that so that the road to Santa Clara goes through Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's correct.
Interesting.
Yep.
Were you surprised that Atlanta upset them last week?
No. Based on the way that I watched film and the way that they played flat, thinking that they were just going to come in and win that football game. And then you think about this game. I love the matchup because you have Cam Newton, who is playing and fighting to win the MVP. And then on the other side, Jameis Winston is 23 passing yards away from going to number three and passing Peyton Manning for the all-time passing yardage by a rookie.
Interesting. Keep in mind, last time the Tampa—I know you know this—last time they faced Tampa Bay Bucks, he had four interceptions.
Four, and they had five total turnovers.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. That was week four.
Just to give you an idea in regard to the NFC, right now the Carolina Panthers an 87.7%. This is Pro Football Focus, by the way.
Okay.
Carolina has an 87.7% chance of landing that one spot. Of course, as David just said, and he's going to be there. They take on the Tampa Bay Bucks. Arizona, an 87.7% chance, which I think is higher because they take on Seattle, and everything I'm hearing out of Seattle is that Pete Carroll is going to rest his players. So I would give Arizona an even higher percentage.
Which is a bad move.
I think I'd give Arizona an even higher percentage. I think I do believe Carolina beats Tampa Bay, and I do believe that Arizona beats Seattle. So I think they'll be the number one.
I don't agree with resting players. Never have, never will.
Even for the second half?
No.
Interesting. Green Bay and Minnesota, this is the game that's been flexed this coming week. Green Bay, a 60.9% chance of winning. The Minnesota Vikings, 39.1. You know what, David? I think Minnesota wins. I think Minnesota goes into Lambeau Field. I think the Vikings win this game.
Wow.
So I'm on the 39.1% bandwagon.
Well, the one thing that you can say is the Green Bay Packers offensive line have struggled in. The Minnesota Vikings can get after a quarterback.
So, they're both going to make it to the postseason.
Yes.
It just depends who has the third
seed.
Who has the fifth seed.
Yep.
Between those two. Washington, 100%. And from what I understand, they're gonna rest some players as well. That's what I'm hearing.
Bad move.
That's what I'm hearing. And then Seattle, an 80.7% chance of winning. Again, I would make that high. Well, I'd make that lower because, again, word out of Seattle is that Pete Carroll's only going to play his players for a short period of time. Now, in the AFC,
I'm going to say one, as a competitor, as a football player, you have one mentality, and that's as a winner every time you step out on the football field. I'm telling you, that those effects, the confidence that it has on your football team, when you don't play to win, when you take guys out, that little bit of confidence, that little bit of things that they need to go into the postseason always takes away. 2011, think about all the yardage, all the records that 2011 Green Bay Packers team had. They had the first round bye. We went there. They were flat. We knew it right from the get-go, and we were able to get after them, and their offense was completely out of sync the entire day.
Interesting. So again, we know that in the NFC, we know that these are the six teams that are going to compete in the postseason. Carolina, Arizona, Green Bay, the Vikings, Washington, and Seattle. Common denominator between these six that you see? I mean, obviously, great quarterback play in the top two in Cam Newton and Carson Palmer. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but really had a subpar season this year.
Really struggling with the loss of Jordy Nelson.
You know, you got Teddy Bridgewater and the Minnesota Vikings. I like Mike Zimmer.
Adrian Peterson, when you have that running back, it completely changes everything.
I think the head coaching, I think bringing
no
in Zim, I think has really helped. And Teddy Bridgewater just managing football games,
mm-hmm.
I think has been important. The Washington Redskins taking advantage of a subpar NFC East. And Kirk Cousins really stepping up.
The relationship between Jay Gruden and Kirk Cousins is phenomenal.
Right.
I had Washington Redskins games, and they've – through thick and thin, those two stick together and are always on the same page.
By the way, Kirk Cousins sent Michigan State obviously is playing Thursday.
Yes.
For that playoff game to get to the national championship.
Playing Alabama.
Right, and so Kirk Cousins sent the entire team shirts. You like that? You like that? You
That's
like that?
Awesome.
He sent the entire Michigan State teams. You like that shirts? And then last but not least, of course, the Seattle Seahawks. Good defense, solid quarterback in Russell Wilson. Just
December,
to kind of give you an
unreal.
Idea, the makeup of teams that are making it to the postseason. Now, in the AFC, this is where it really gets interesting, I think. So you've got a Patriots team taking on the Miami Dolphins down in Miami. Chances are they're going to win that
and
have the number one seed.
Yes.
Okay. Denver, unbelievable game on that Monday night against the Cincinnati Bengals,
yes.
right? What an amazing second half.
What a way to end the regular season with that football game.
Unbelievable. So where it stands right now, you've got a San Diego team that takes on the Denver Broncos, and I think Denver does win that game to maintain the number two seed. Now, here's a team I find it very interesting. The Cincinnati Bengals, I love this team, okay? It was very important for them, though, David, to beat the Denver Broncos to maintain the second seed so they have a bye week and one more week to get Andy Dalton healthy.
I know.
That their loss to the Denver Broncos on Monday night derailed their game plan for the postseason, and I'm really concerned about it.
And rightfully so, because what did that Denver Broncos team, but more importantly, Osweiler get? Confidence that he can bounce back when they need him as a quarterback and make big plays.
You've got a Texans team
winning with Brandon Weeden, their third-string quarterback, which it'll be at this point, Hoyer should be back for this game.
Yeah, but this is, again, this is one of those games where it doesn't matter. Fourth seed. Nothing's going to happen.
Yep.
Chances are they're going to rest some players. And then you've got Kansas City. I think the fun one is the Jets going up against the Buffalo Bills and Rex Ryan trying to play spoiler, and the Pittsburgh Steelers looking in, having to beat Cleveland.
Didn't take advantage of the opportunity last week, and it's going to come back and haunt them.
Well, maybe. This is not going to be a walk in the park for the Jets to beat the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo with Rex Ryan, and you know how he feels about that organization. So I do believe Pittsburgh wins, but I think really the big crucial game for the AFC is that Jets football game.
I think the Jets beat the Bills.
Against the Bills.
I think they do. Yep.
Interesting. All right, let's continue with your calls. Again, I'm sorry. Uh-oh.
Locked out.
I am. There we go. Let's continue with your calls. We go to Lynn in Maryland. Lynn, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Hey, Anita, heartfelt comments, and I'm thinking along the same lines as you are. And I think the one thing that kind of bothers me the most is we know it's coming. I mean, the tsunami is coming, and the football operations side of this business is going to get devastated next week. And it's just really a shame. Hey, David, how the heck hard is it to find a blocking tight end? It seems like every year we talk about having to find a blocking tight end.
I know.
I mean, oh my gosh, David! It can't be that hard. If it really is the problem that you suggest it is, then I think you're
I
think it is a problem.
Think about this: the running game this season. How many plays have you seen that were tosses, pitches, where the edge was set that turned into big gains?
I know.
Everything
I know.
Was in you between the tackles.
Yeah, from the opening night in Dallas in the last 1 minute and the sweep with Jennings that lost 2 or 3 yards. And you keep saying to yourself, that play is not designed to lose 3 yards.
No. No.
There's something. It's designed to, to be able to do something else there. The other thing, hearing your comments about, Flowers, I'm beginning to think of all the injuries, and geez, we had a lot. I mean, the sheer numbers. I did a count the other day. We have had 17 defensive linemen on the 53-man roster. Let's leave that one alone and go back to what I think may have been, and I think you would support this, the most difficult injury that we had to deal with was the baby industry.
No question.
Injury. It changed everything.
Yep.
Every aspect of what we do, including and most importantly, player development.
Lynn,
it was a tough injury to overcome.
Lynn, thank you for the phone call. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you guys. Happy New Year.
I agree with that in regards to the inability to run the football. I've said this all season long. There's some games where you see Eli Manning and, of course, Odell Beckham Jr., and they're just crushing it. And I sit back and I say, my goodness, imagine with a rushing attack that's going to keep defenses honest.
Yeah.
And how frightening that then would be in regard to really how things would really open up even more so in this passing
attack.
Getting
linebackers to step up in order to honor the run, no question.
All right, let's take one more call. He's been holding on. Frank, let's end it strong today. Welcome,
Frank the Tank. Let's go. You're the closer, buddy.
Oh, it's a great honor, David. I'm a longtime Giant fan. I go back to Del Schaffner and Tittle, so I've seen a lot of good things and bad. But and I'm a big Tom Coughlin fan too, and I hope that they don't do the wrong thing and fire him. But what I wanted to say today had something to do with Jerry Reese. I think he's getting a bum rap too. I've heard some callers say he got lucky with Odell, and I guess to some extent he did, because the Bills passed on him and took Sammy Watkins. But over the years, I think people forget he also got JPP, got David Wilson. They got Hakeem Nicks very low, and for 1 or 2 years there, the Giants were drafting low. So I think people are being a little harsh on him, too harsh on Jerry. But the one other thing I wanted to say was I'm a decision theorist, and I know that you've said that this is a results league. But judging decisions by results is not always the best way to judge them. What one has to ask oneself is whether or not the decision was the right one at the time it was being made. And since so many people were optimistic before the season, it seems as if many people thought that Jerry was making the right moves, at least more right moves than wrong ones. So Jerry can't control for injuries, can't control for tip balls, can't control for drop passes and things like that. So the question is, where does the blame lie? And I would say it lies on the field with the players, but not necessarily because they were chosen, but because they just simply didn't perform. So that's about all I have to say.
Thank you for your phone call.
Great points, and I know exactly where you're coming from, and I understand that. But like I said early, and I will continue to say, when you have a struggling season like this one, players, coaches, GM, everybody has their fingerprint on the outcome and the way that the season went.
What's your New Year's resolution?
New Year's resolution. I haven't decided one yet.
No?
No.
Do you have one? Do you have one each year? I mean, is it?
No, not really.
My thing is this. I don't drink enough water.
See, I do not have that problem.
I do not. I drink more wine than water.
I wake up at least 3 times in the middle of the night to go, because I drink so much throughout a day.
Wow.
This is my only time where I had my coffee at 5:30 this morning. I have my little Mountain Dew before we get rolling on the air here. That's
so
it.
Cute. Your Mountain Dew. Yeah. So this is my New Year's res. More water. More water, more water.
Okay, and I'm going to stick on you every time I see you.
Will you please?
Yes.
Because I need to do it. I need to do it. For all of us here at the Giants organization, again, wishing everyone out there a very healthy and happy New Year's. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Is there, Neela, is there a Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow? Do we know? There is. So a Big Blue Kickoff Live will be back on tomorrow. Again, getting you ready for Week 17, and that is the Giants against the Philadelphia Eagles. Stay tuned to Giants.com. Players will be made available to the media today after practice. Those interviews will be up on Giants.com. If you missed any portion of this show, that's on Giants.com, as well as the Tom Coughlin press conference from earlier today. Have a great day, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Come on, man, we need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down the middle of the field, he's got through. 35, 30.